Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
What's up? It's your boy, The Ben Smith. Thanks for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. Want more? Check out the greatest podcast in all the land, The Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and listen to a brand new episode every Tuesday night.
Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose. And all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned and are cordially invited to join the party. This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than three times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to the Men's Room.
Wow! And away we go. Welcome to season 18, episode number 3831. Along with Steve the Thrill Hill, the Ted Smith, and Mike Hawk.
Come on!
And you are the Men's Room. On tap today, once again, Ryan Castle joins us from his basement, dungeon, studio, bar to sit and to spin. Today we channel Christopher Walken with the 10 greatest cowbell songs of all times. We will play Profile This. Plus headlines, a Men's Room shout of the day, fun with listener emails, and everyone's favorite, TV Time with Ted.
The clap.
Drink it to drunk.
All right, here we go. Hospital patient in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania picks the wrong time to light up a cig. Meanwhile, a woman in Hawaii almost hit by a boulder in her own home, and it was big. To Alabama, where someone is missing their twig and their berries. Man arrested in Florida in 16 different forms of ID is what he carries. And Twitter bans a bird conservation charity for posting a dirty pic. That is all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, bad news. Valentine's Day is about 2 weeks away, and other than everything, the other thing I hate about it, the thing that drives me nuts, is that everyone suddenly becomes a foodie, right? Seems like that's the one day that people want to go out and eat a Kobe beef and lobster gently wrapped in a delicate puff pastry, topped with truffle shavings and served to the side of acorn squash and beet salad with a salted caramel pâte de crème. All right, maybe it's just me, but one of my favorite meals is your breakfast for dinner. Give me a fried egg, bacon, piece of toast, done. In fact, the whole family gets excited when we say, hey guys, we're just going to do breakfast for dinner. I also enjoy a plain-ass fried egg sandwich. Had one Sunday. It was freaking delicious. And for dessert, just give me some Sugarman cinnamon toast. I'm down with that. Meanwhile, a very old Miles Montgomery, want to take him out on a date? Make him a bowl of split-pea soup, a box of macaroni and cheese. Bam! Now, what do these delicacies have in common? Well, apparently they qualify as, and I quote, poverty meals. Who knew? So I looked it up. Poverty meals, it's defined as the condition of being unable to get enough healthy food because you are too poor. Okay, well, look, I've been broke enough that I had to save money to be called poor, and I would have killed to get my hands on poverty food. And now, frankly, it's one of my staples. It's just my style. And now the folks at Reddit, they've come up to the consensus of the top 15 modern-day poverty foods. And with few exceptions, I like all of them. Not you, lentil rice casserole. I'm sorry. You don't fit in there. But almost everyone has been in a financial situation where food was at a premium, and that usually leads to one of two things. Either us eating the same thing over and over, hello ramen noodles, or it leads us, or our parents, to getting desperately creative with the ingredients that are already available. Right, the time goes by, maybe you make some money, and you go get all that Valentine's Day kind of silliness, but eventually you settle into the foods that you're just going to eat. So today we want you to think about your quote-unquote broke food, and trust me, half the stuff you're eating apparently poverty food, at least according to the list. So this is what we want to know today. Which poverty meal will you never eat again? And which one will you still eat?
Be a part of the Big Show. Call 206-803-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live. And send those emails to themensroom@kisw.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Hold the towels, away we go. Welcome to season 18, episode number 3831. What a large and a charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat. Once again, we'll be joined by Ryan Castle. He's down in his basement dungeon studio bar. We'll sit and spin. A lot of you probably don't know Ryan Castle is an actual percussionist.
Yes, indeed.
We get down into his basement. He's got his drums, and he's got a drum room, as a matter of fact, and all his various percussion-type things.
A drum room. It's really, there's a spare bedroom, and his wife was like, put it in there.
Go downstairs.
Please, close the door.
Get out of
Make
up here.
That thing
That's
as
why
as possible.
I have a music room.
Yeah. So he's going through his stuff, and I guess he decided he wanted to focus on the cowbell today. So in honor of that, Ryan will bring us the 10 greatest cowbell songs of all times. Coming up today on the Sit and Spin. What else we have for you today? As we do every Monday through Friday, we'll head on over to the Odyssey app exclusively for the Men's Room Happy Hour. 5 days a week, you get more Men's Room on the explicit channel, as the rules that apply to these airwaves here at KISW do not apply to the Men's Room Happy Hour. Therefore, sometimes the language and the content matter is a little bit not worthy of these airwaves, but it is for the Men's Room Happy
Hour.
It's
worthy, it's just illegal.
Yes, the return of Ask the Men's Room is coming up today with the Men's Room Appy. Or, by the way, if you don't have the Odyssey app, download it now. It's absolutely free. You can check out our show if you happen to miss it. All 4 hours of the podcast. We have the greatest hits, I guess, as far as the weekly podcast is concerned. So if you just want a condensed version of some of the best from the week, that podcast is available too. Ted's got the Megacast there with Steve Miggs. The podcast.
The podcast.
Is also on there. The Greatest Story Never Told podcast is available as well. Keep in mind, when you do listen on the Odyssey app, do yourself a favor and sign into your account, because every hour that you listen there, you have a chance to win cool prizes. Uh-huh. We're not sure what those prizes are, but they change all the time.
We heard they're cool.
Could be Nickelback tickets. We don't exactly know if they're still up there or not. But
surely it could be a teddy bear right now. We really don't know. But you got a chance to win something.
You got a chance to win those tickets if you listen to us on the Odyssey app. And the way that works is every hour you listen, you are entered a separate time. So if you listen to the show 4 hours, you get four separate entries for your chance to win stuff. What else do we have for you today? Our question, we're going to talk about poverty foods and what they call poverty foods.
I did not know the poverty foods were poverty foods.
Exactly. You might know that they, it's a time like anything else. We say this about any time that, you know, when you grow up, you only know what you know.
Sure.
Now, you know certain things, like you know who the rich kids are. You know all kinds of...
They don't eat what you eat.
But as far as your life and what you know to be true, certain sets of things are just basically normal to you. And that's included in what you eat, what your parents cook for you. I mean, let's face it, man. As you're growing up, man, you are not on the hook for most meals. You might make a snack when you get home.
Sure.
After school, because you're still hungry and, you know dinner's going to be a little while, but... For the most part, and it's not saying that kids don't know how to cook or don't enjoy doing it or don't know how to make a handful of things that they enjoy.
There's a lot of things kids can do that they don't do, like clean their goddamn room.
Right.
Sorry, I digress.
Yeah. But when it comes to dinner, when it comes to breakfast on the weekends and all that, that's all in your parents' hands.
Sure.
And it's also in their pocketbook as far as how many siblings do you have? How many people are in the home?
Right.
What kind of meals? In your case, Steve, can your parents cook or can they not cook?
My dad openly said he couldn't cook. My mom openly says she couldn't cook. However, they both agreed that they had children, so they still had to feed us. And it was not awesome.
Right.
Well, it just wasn't, man.
It also depends on it also depends on trends, where you live. You know, where I grew up, Spam was very popular. Mm-hmm. Fried bologna sandwiches were very popular. I have not had one in years. We were talking about it probably just a couple weeks ago. When's the last time you had bologna? I think, Steve, you were the last person who's had it.
Because
in the room.
It fits the definition of a mortadella is. And it was on like a sub. I got it like Jimmy John's. So technically, mm-hmm. I've had bologna because it was mortadella, and that was part of two other ingredients that were on the sandwich.
Right. And so bologna was a standard, a staple in my home.
I agree. Yeah, we had them all the time for lunch.
Did you have the red strip around it?
Yeah. You had to peel the bologna. You had to, if you were going to.
That's how you knew it was good.
If you're going to fry it up, you had to fillet the bologna into four different cuts so that it would lay someone flat.
So it looks like Pac-Man.
It pretty much did.
That's the way it was with Taylor Ham when I grew up, which is pork roll.
And then, that's very close to Spam as well.
I was going to say, I love it, this and that. I made it for somebody, and my buddy just takes a bite of it because I made it at their house. And he goes, no, it's like fancy Spam.
Yeah, fancy Spam.
If you live in Hawaii, you grew up on Spam.
Sure.
You know? So like anything else, West Virginia and Hawaii, two totally different places.
But
in a lot of different ways. But as far as food.
Everyone I knew ate Spam and bologna.
Well, I thought more in Hawaii. Was it economical or was it just geographical?
They actually seemed to really like it.
Well, yeah.
That seemed to be, everyone I knew ate bologna and Spam growing up because that's what was available. And everyone, not quite broke, but money was not falling out of your pocket, right? So those were your staples. But we never fried our bologna, right? We just had bologna sandwiches, or Spam would be the one thing that were fried.
What did you put on your bologna sandwiches as far as your condiments?
Mustard.
And then yellow my mustard,
parents were
white
yellow
bread.
Mustard. Yeah. And my parents were feeling no. We got the wheat.
We
bread.
Also did ketchup, ketchup and mustard.
Nah, I didn't do the ketchup
on a bologna sandwich.
I think
with
like,
cheese, which just sounds
a slice of American cheese.
Yeah,
but Miles, I'm with you. When I was like 13 or 14, somehow somebody was just like, "Dude, you just fry it up," and then we started frying up everything. Like if we made a ham sandwich, we fry it up real quick and put it on the.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And you said you love an egg sandwich. That was a staple.
Give me Friday. I had one Sunday. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like we literally just made bacon. My wife was doing scrambled eggs. It had been a minute since I just had a fried egg. I'm like, you know, man, let me have a fried egg. So I had the fried egg. That was last week. Then this past Sunday, we basically repeated what we did the Sunday before.
Mm-hmm.
Took some white-ass bread, put some butter on it, put it in the toaster, threw my fried egg on there. And I'm like, this is delicious. So I'm reading today, poverty food. I'm like, well, first of all, I know eggs are stupid expensive right now, so maybe not. Right. But generally speaking, I'm like, what is wrong? This is, I'm not eating this because I'm broke. I'm eating this because, in my mind, this is delicious.
Sure.
I understand this is not some culinary expertise where you need a chef, but it's good.
Sure. There was a time where, you know, bread was the one thing that my mom or stepfather would always buy just so that was available in the house for me to eat whatever was available.
Yeah.
And like anything else, you do with what you can, and you come up with all these different things. Pizza bagels were very popular in the 80s.
Just make your own?
I don't know why, but, well, I never had bagels. So what I would do is...
Just the bread.
Take that dumbass white bread, and there was like a little jar of whatever ragu or whatever we had. Spread it on there.
We at least had Prego.
Parmesan cheese, and in the toaster oven.
Really?
That was basically my version of pizza.
American cheese. I didn't even think to use Parmesan.
Slice on there.
I had a slice of bread... Prego, and I always got mags. My mom would buy the chunky stuff, and you know me. So I don't want like bits of actual vegetables.
When I was a kid, it drove me up a wall, too.
Right. And now, you know, it doesn't bug me, but as a kid, I'm like, it's good. So I would literally have to spoon those out, right? Then just get the sauce and then a slice of American cheese. And I thought that I was a freaking genius.
Did you guys ever have Mama Celeste pizzas?
Yeah. Those are the cheap ones.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you said like coming home and like having a snack, like I could taste those right now and Elio's. It was like that square brick pizza came in like a brick of three and you had to break them apart.
Right.
Every once in a while we got Elio's, but that was one of those deals where if we got Elio's, my parents would legitimately call my brother and I into the room and say, look, if you're going to make yourself like an after school pizza, you can do the Mama Celeste.
Oh, yeah.
Do not touch the Elio's. That's a family dinner.
My bread was always wheat, though. So it was just.
Mine, too.
It was so horrible.
I hated wheat bread.
All these things. And if it was like, there was a couple things that I remember that were kind of like, look, this is as good as it's going to get for you. And sometimes my mom would buy like a pound of chipped ham.
Mm-hmm.
When I mean chipped ham, I mean it's just paper thin.
Yeah.
It's all lumpy together. And like that was, this is big time. Like we must have.
That was good though, man.
We would have cream chip beef for dinner.
No, this was just like the deli meat.
Yeah.
But it was sliced thin.
Right. But you never made like cream chip beef and put it over toast?
No.
We didn't get chipped beef. We got chipped ham.
or chipped ham.
It's super thin, so it's just like
it's the same. I mean, same
deli thing, meat, just, yeah. right? Just yeah. cut thinner. But to, I would freak out when they brought that.
Right?
That other, was good stuff.
The other greatest thing that ever happened was about once or twice a year, McDonald's would run a special and they would do 25-cent hamburgers,
mm-hmm.
and my stepfather would go and he'd buy 50 of them. All right, he'd come home with two big bags
right.
of McDonald's hamburgers. I would put them in a freezer bag and stick, you know, 25 of them in the freezer and they in the garage freezer outside, right. you know, and that was the snack I could go and I could heat up a 25-cent hamburger every once in a while.
My buddy,
I ran through those fast.
My buddy Leon worked yeah. at McDonald's and he hated those days. He said there were 2 days he hated. Every once in a while, McDonald's goes, hey, you know, Tuesday, 25-cent burger day. He's like, I hated that day. And the other day, he said, the first of the month. Because all these cats in Baltimore, seriously, they got the welfare check. And when they came in, like, he said, they wanted more burgers than anyone should get. He's like, that's where mm-hmm. the money went.
Yeah.
Leon would be like, look, we can make you 30 hamburgers, but you understand you have to wait. I got time.
Right. Right. Whatever was on sale, by the way, was another thing that I got. So, any kind, never Campbell's soup. But whatever the generic equivalent was, my mom would come home with like 8 or 10 cans, whatever the deal was, you know, buy 5 for, you know, a couple dollars, whatever the deal is. And it was always chicken noodle and vegetable soup.
Yeah.
And then she would buy cream of mushroom soup to come up with these awful, awful casseroles that she would make for dinner. Now, sometimes they would include things like
cornflakes,
cauliflower or green beans and tuna and... in this mushroom sauce, and it was just, I cannot explain to you how, I know that whatever the definition is of a casserole, I get.
Apparently it takes you had to have a starch, a binder, cheese, a vegetable, and a protein. I looked at this today.
I've never had a good one.
No.
Ever in my
life. Tater tot casserole is the only casserole I'll really stand up for. Well.
But is it really a casserole?
It is.
I should say that because I enjoy casseroles. But what you're talking about, like those cheap little egg noodles, the cream of mushroom soup, because I used to pick out the little pieces of mushroom.
Peas sometimes.
Yeah, like my mom would make that, like, it seemed like that was like a Thursday or Friday. Like, yeah, like we hated it.
But
that
was just what we got.
We ate it.
If you add the word casserole, it sucks, right? Because technically, a lasagna is a casserole.
Mm-hmm.
But it does not say Italian casserole. They go, no, we call this lasagna. Once you add casserole, that means you're really, really not
right, right.
Tuna casserole, I never understood it. You know, it's tuna, but then, I don't know, the idea of tuna and cornflakes, right? And then whatever else you put in there. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
Always a bag of mixed vegetables of some type, frozen mixed vegetables, which were the antichrist of you must finish your plate before you get up and leave the table.
Mm-hmm.
That and lima beans. I mean, the most healthy things were the ones they skimped on the most. So
because they cost
more. If they bought vegetables, my mom would buy cauliflower. Mm. And then she would smother it in cheese, which was not the worst thing in the world, but she just wanted everyone in the house to be able to eat it because
you weren't going to eat it without the cheese.
It sucked. So it was always like in a pot in the oven, cheese over cauliflower. And even though it had cheese on it, I was like, couldn't you just...
But it has cauliflower under it.
What if you did this, Mom? Noodles are real cheap. Why don't you smother those macaroni noodles in that cheese? You know what I mean? We can have macaroni and cheese. Well, that's not a vegetable. I understand that, but it's edible. You know, like,
We used to do it with broccoli because you could buy the microwave broccoli that had like a cheese sauce.
The parents would always argue the vegetables, but I don't like vegetables. So finally, I tried to reason with my mother, and I go, okay, what seems healthier to you, all right? And this is kind of what you're saying, Miles. Now, I can eat cheese that is melted on noodles, and there's no vegetable. But I've eaten something. Or you put cheese on broccoli, I still have not eaten a vegetable, and I've eaten nothing. Because you have to understand, after all, I've heard every threat. I've heard everything come my way. I've sat at the table until bedtime. All the things you can do, I'm not eating the goddamn vegetables. There's nothing you could get me to do. Period. I tried them. I do not like them. I am done with them. That'd be like me saying, try this dog turd.
Look,
you'd be like, have you ever tried a dog turd? No, you haven't. I've tried the vegetables. I know I don't like them. So when you eat a dog turd, I'll eat broccoli. There you go.
I tried to feed my dog Sunshine. The vegetables were left on my plate because I'm stubborn. I was just like you as far as you tell me to do something. in the way you say it, it just makes me
resist doing it so much more.
I know that, but
I did not like
them. I did not like
you're being a jackass.
I did not like lima beans. I would try to give everything I could to that dog. That dog would eat everything except for the vegetables that were left on my plate.
So she went to the
Sunshine,
neighbors.
I would open my hand like, here, dude, please eat this. And she would not eat the vegetables. She would eat anything. She would eat the crust from my pizza. Mm. She would eat anything else that I wanted to give her. Anything I was snacking on when I was watching television. Chips, you name it, man. She's right there. She wants more. Trying to just like, dude, hook me up. I hook you up. Hook me up and eat this crap. She'd just smell it and walk the hell away.
But I realize now as an adult, like, kids eat so much during the day. Like, they don't eat dinner. It's like, fine.
I stopped caring.
Don't eat dinner. Go to bed.
Like, whatever, man. Just leave me alone. I don't want to eat. So many years ago, we have the same mom. 1970s casserole. Gross.
God.
No, it's just this. If you grew up in the 70s, no matter where you live, you were stuck with casserole.
Put some of the French onion toppers on there. There's got to be a way to make that onion.
Cost too much.
There's got to be a way to make that mushroom soup can crap work out better than it is. I can't think of one thing with that can of soup other than having the actual soup that's worthy of it being put into anything.
The soup itself is pretty good.
That's what I'm saying. But don't use it as a recipe item. See, put it into something. You know?
I mean, look, I have one recipe that calls for cream of chicken, but it's a tater tot casserole.
And it's also chicken.
Right.
It's not mushrooms.
God, I hated those little bitch bits of mushroom.
Bitch mushroom.
That's what I'm saying. I hate them too.
I like the noodles and I like the cream part.
Right. I hated the peas. What poverty meal will you never eat again and which one do you still eat? 206-803-ROCK.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
One of the commenters on the text mentioned that can't stand water chestnuts.
I hate water chestnuts.
Man, we had them growing up, and I just remember it's all about LaChoy. And there's one thing to get Chinese takeout, which was not the most expensive thing even back then to feed the family. It's rice and all that stuff, right? But when they tried to do it at home with LaChoy stuff,
you can't.
The worst dinner night ever. And I love
it. I remember it.
I love
Chinese
food
all the time.
We did too.
Yeah.
It's what was there, but no one was happy to see it.
The only thing I liked were the little crunchy noodles that you could put on.
Yeah.
That's it.
Those noodles were great.
That was the only thing
to
save the game.
In and just eat those.
Because that was the only thing worth eating out of the whole damn meal. What poverty meal will you never eat again, and which one do you still eat? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Danny. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola. What will you never eat again?
Well, it's a toss-up between hamburger helper, which my mom forced me to eat all the time, and hot dogs on bread or chili dogs on bread.
You mean as in just like a slice of bread?
Yeah.
As the bun.
You know, it's a weird thing.
Because
if you eat a hot dog on a slice of bread, which I think we all did, it's really not much different than eating it on a bun, but I feel like out of principle, I just refuse to do it. Like, no, put this on a goddamn bun.
Like, again, I don't mind it now.
Right,
but
now,
as a kid, it was like, no. Like, this isn't a hot dog. It's not a hot dog bun.
Right, kids interpret every form of bread as so much different than the other. And I get it. I completely understand it. I was that way. Everyone I know is that way. But that
said, I feel like buns are even cheaper than the bread, though, you know?
They never bought buns. You always had hot dogs available. But back to that wheat slice of bread. I mean, everything had to be created with that.
That was part of my problem, is that it's always wheat bread. My friends always had white bread, so I don't mind eating a hot dog on a slice of white bread because it doesn't taste much different than the bun. But the wheat bread tastes like wheat bread and a hot dog. But Hamburger Helper, depending on your age, there was only one flavor for a while. And it was just Hamburger Helper.
I have had Hamburger Helper within the last decade, right?
Mm-hmm. A
couple times. And the noodles and the pasta Hamburger Helper, which kind of comes across as like a just like a bolognese type deal with bow tie pasta in it, hamburger and sauce and cheese.
It's bolognese. It's like ghetto cousin.
Right. It's not the worst thing in the world. They do a stroganoff and all these other things. But the original Hamburger Helper is just basically beef, cheese, and
but they had to up their game. I think they had to up their game, or Hamburger Helper was going out of business. Because I'm
right. They brought in Chicken Helper.
Constantly.
Right.
Tuna Helper.
Oh, which, no,
that's the worst.
No.
That's
tuna
the bottom
helper
of the barrel.
I haven't had Hamburger Helper in years, but the last time I had it, like, this had to be 5 years ago. Like, I made it. I don't know why I was making it. And, like, my neighbor down the hall, like, knocked on the door, and he had, like, a buddy with him. And they ate it.
Really?
They were like, I haven't had this forever. I was like, yeah, have a little bit. And
here's
before I realized it, I was like, man, you guys ate all the Hamburger Helper.
Here's what Hamburger Helper is doing these days. Tuna cheesy pasta. Stroganoff.
Yes.
Chicken fried rice. Three cheese, cheesy Italian shells, and real cheese. They also have the deluxe
and real cheese
Philly cheesesteak with real cheese.
I always liked Hamburger Helper.
Potatoes, what, stroganoff.
What flavors did you get? Because again,
and cheesy ranch butter.
In the 70s, there was one flavor, and it was just called Hamburger Helper. That's all it was. There was nothing more to it.
Like, I remember that we did do the stroganoff one. That one was really good. They had a handful of, like, it was almost kind of a taco helper that was on there.
Okay, see, I'm
there was a lasagna helper.
There was a bunch of them. The lasagna one was big, I think, like, when I got to high school.
I was going
to
say, what, can
there
you
was,
find
like, a cheeseburger
out
one?
What year right? They at least introduced their second one?
They you know what, they switch them. They're pretty good at changing depending
now,
on what's going on.
Correct. Now.
Yes.
70s, they were just like, tough. This is what it is. And you know what? Your parents are going to keep buying it. You got to keep eating it.
I mean,
it.
You got to remember, you got to start with hamburger.
Right.
That's, I mean,
that was the
right
first
there.
One.
You're like, okay. Well,
four cheese lasagna.
Why not just make a goddamn hamburger and use your white wheat bread and just make a hamburger, like a Eddie Murphy hamburger, you know?
I never understood that as a kid. It's like, it says Hamburger Helper. Right? And now, as a child, if you say hamburger, it is not ground beef. A hamburger is a patty that is then put on bread for me to consume. So, like, Hamburger Helper to me is called ketchup, mustard, and cheese.
The only time the cheesy enchilada one was really good.
I was
going to
say, man, I remember,
taco.
Like, there was plenty of times I'd prefer Hamburger Helper over a burger.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
We
I
did
got
try
experiment.
The, we tried the tuna helper one
Ew.
Time.
You
and
gotta
that
cook the
was
tuna.
Disgusting.
Yes,
what's
because canned
it?
Tuna can't be cooked.
I don't remember even what it was, but it was something that was, you know, it was a creamy type of deal. But the tuna was, I never knew that tuna could be overpowering, and it was it did not work there.
If you heat up canned tuna, that is exactly what it'd be going to
taste like. The
cheeseburger
can
macaroni, you bet.
What poverty meal will you never eat again, and which one do you still eat? 206-803-ROCK.
Quick question: did anyone ever take Hamburger Helper and mix it with their tuna?
No. Well, I mean, you could.
But why
in
not?
Theory. Because well, no, because you get. I think the juice is from the hamburger and the way you. Because it says drain the fat when you're cooking that. Never do that. Leave the fat into the Hamburger Helper, man. I'm serious.
You should drain it.
I don't even drain the fat when I'm making taco meat.
Really?
No, I like it good and greasy.
I don't like that layer of grease that gets on there. Like, I cooked my sausage dip once and forgot to drain it. And there was just.
It just becomes different, right?
Yeah.
Especially when you put it in the refrigerator. What poverty meal will you never eat again, and which one do you still eat? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Daniel. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen. How are we doing today?
All right. Doing well, ma'am.
Awesome. So, I should preference that I am the middle child of five. I have an older brother who did a lot of sports, and the youngest brother ate everything in the house. So, I grew up eating everything that was put in front of me.
All right.
So that means that I don't really have a poverty meal that I will not eat ever again. Because I grew up, if I didn't eat, then I didn't eat. So I eat everything.
What were some of the average meals that were put in front of you when you have five kids?
Hamburger Helper was a big thing.
Real quick. Did you just straight up Hamburger Helper, or did you have one of these flavored ones like Fancy Ass Mike over here?
More often than not, it was stroganoff.
Okay. All right.
Not a bad one.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we had casseroles a lot. We had soups a lot.
Soup's not bad.
And whenever we were feeling fancy, sometimes corned beef, sometimes steaks, baked chicken, grilled chicken, so on and so forth.
Sounds like you eat pretty well, dude.
Other than the casseroles, like what were some of the casseroles that Mom would serve up, and which one did you hate seeing the most?
None of them, really. Like, it was always things inside the casserole that I didn't like peas or kidney beans.
Well, that's the casserole.
That's the casserole.
That's the nightmare of the casserole. They never call it, like, lima bean casserole. They'll call it something else. And then inside of that casserole is all the crap you don't want to eat.
Right,
yeah. They just hide it under all the layers of other stuff.
Okay.
That's the trick.
Yeah.
How did green bean casserole seem to be the one that stands the test of time?
I think because it's,
people like it.
Yeah, it's out of all of the ones, it's simple. It's not too complicated.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Because no one talks about casseroles, but at Thanksgiving, I feel like green bean casserole 100% of the time.
People like that.
Is brought into the conversation.
That's the one that people like the most. And every time I hear Hamburger Helper, I can only think of Cousin Eddie in Vacation.
Right.
And his line, I don't know why they call this stuff Hamburger Helper, Clark. Does just fine on its own, I think.
Right, he's trying to make burgers out of it. I think casseroles, too, though, they, like, you're only getting the, like, green bean shows up around the holidays.
Right, that's it. It's the only time I hear about
it. I know in the Midwest, casseroles are a massive deal. But I feel like for me, like, even like that tater tot thing, like, again, that's around the holidays. I might break it out.
What are the ingredients besides cheese and tater tots?
Cr- cream of chicken.
Mm-hmm. Okay, can of cream of chicken.
Pack of ranch.
All right.
Sour cream.
And so like bacon, top of bacon like, or something?
Yeah, bacon bits.
See, to me, that's not casserole. Casserole's got to have some crappy, crappy vegetables.
But that's what we're saying. Casserole, when you say casserole, it's a very negative connotation to me.
That sounds to me like a great appetizer.
No one ever made good casseroles when we were younger. But when you add stuff like tater tots, like, all right, you are now speaking my language. I have to think, even in the Midwest, where they like casseroles, I get it.
That's the king. Like, I don't know that those people ever eat a tater tot. It's always in a casserole.
But see, that's what I'm saying. Like, I will eat tater tot casserole because I get the only thing is you're not mixing peas with tater tots.
One of the items on the...
I'm always amazed at the hate for peas.
They're just...
I mean, it's a starchy, delicious vegetable. It's not the healthiest vegetable by any stretch.
It's not that. My thought on peas is just this. Like, look, if you like peas, I got no problem with that because you get more if I'm with you, right? Because I'm not going to eat mine. So, good for you. But they need to stay out of other things. It's when you sneak them into an otherwise pretty good dish.
Right, you don't need to.
That's all it is. Like, no. Like, peas, to me, like, listen, I'm not trying to be a peaist, but you're segregated. I'm sorry, you are your own thing.
Correct.
And if someone eating peas wants to mix it with their other foods, I'm down with that.
I will say
please do not insert them into something else that I would otherwise enjoy.
For whatever reason, I can tolerate peas in kind of a shepherd's pie type deal.
Yeah.
Or a pot pie. For whatever reason.
Hate it.
Those are places I think peas, I don't like them, but they are acceptable to find there, and I understand they're going to be there.
When I was just a kid, like green beans, we didn't like eating. But like peas and carrots, we'd eat all the time.
But did you ever eat fresh green beans, or was it the pre-frozen?
Canned.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Now, have you guys, so there's a Reddit discussion thread about poverty meals, right? One of the items on here, so it's just in no particular order, people are just saying what they grew up with in their poverty meal. Have you guys ever heard, or any of our listeners, have you heard of a thing called glop?
Yes.
I've heard of glop.
I've heard of glunk.
Glunk? What is glunk?
I can't even, it's same thing. It's like ground beef, cream of mushroom. I don't know, my buddy makes it. I think like those noodles we were talking about from La Choy.
The crunchy ones.
Mm-hmm. Are involved. Like it's a whole thing.
I've heard of glop. My understanding, first of all, when you call it glop, it means there are no definitive ingredients in this.
Well,
but to me, it's like, if take all the ingredients that you're going to basically put in a stew, but you're not making stew.
Here's the description that this person said that their version of glop was. A can of cream of mushroom soup.
Mm-hmm.
Sliced green onion.
All right.
Cooked rice. And Lowry's garlic salt.
All right.
Sometimes shredded chicken added in. They say their mom called it glop because how it plops onto the plate in a spoon-shaped lump. Others shared a similar mushroom soup dish, only with tuna, which they call glop as well.
Yeah.
What poverty meal will you never eat again, and which one do you still eat? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Chad. Welcome to the men's room.
What's up, people?
Hola. Chad the Merman, everybody.
I'm actually in the hospital right now.
What are you in the hospital for, Chad?
Girlfriend got bariatric surgery, so she's going home tomorrow morning, though.
So you're there for someone else. It's all good.
Yes, I am there for someone else.
Mm-hmm. Cafeteria's never bad.
No, it isn't, especially in the Rochester ones where you go to the U of R Medicine.
I've never been to a hospital in Rochester.
But now we're going to visit.
Yeah, but I'll take your word for it.
I'm in Highland, but Strong's got some good stuff, too.
Okay.
So I would go to the Highland Cafe, get the subs from the Bella's, because they have the subs from there, and then you can also get, like, there's an entire thing where there's actual cucks there, too.
That helps.
Mm-hmm. What did you eat up there in Rochester as your poverty meal? A garbage plate?
I eat poverty meals every day.
All right.
I'm a janitor. I mean, what are you going to do?
Okay. All right. That's fair. What's your go-to poverty meal?
I'd have to say the Salisbury steaks from the Dollar Store, you know, the ones you could get, and you can, like, and then there's also, this stuff my mom makes, and it's this green, it's called green glop. It's basically
green glop.
It's a pistachio pudding, and it's got, like, oranges, and is it pineapple, and, like, some type of, like, cream.
That's a real Rochester kind of thing. I just, when I was a kid living there, I mean much younger, so like through age 9, I feel like that kind of thing, your green glop, was kind of the standard dessert.
Well, pudding and Jell-O were both very standard desserts.
Saying his fruit combination, like it just brought back. Yeah. Only when I was there, though, not in Baltimore, not in Colorado.
I've seen people do things with pudding where they add different things to pudding. I've seen when they do it to Jell-O. If you went to the equivalent of what we had, a Sizzler or a Western Sizzlin' or any of those things, when you went to order and check in, all of those desserts were up there for you to put on your tray.
Yeah.
And they were all in ice. And half the time it's vanilla pudding, chocolate pudding, three kinds of Jell-O, and maybe like a slice of pie.
But dude, I would still eat to this day. You ever had the pretzels with Jell-O and then like whipped cream?
Ambrosia?
No, ambrosia is different. This is just like salty pretzels on the bottom, Jell-O on top, and then like whipped cream.
I think I've had it because I thought it was going to be gross. I was being nice, and I was shocked how good I thought
it
was.
Oh, it's awesome. Nothing disappoints, though. Quite like a Jell-O mold.
What will you never eat again, Chad?
Oh, God. Well, I put liver on the list because my girlfriend had that, and then I had it later than she did. Because I actually tried it at work, and it sucked. And then there was, what else we've got? There was one thing my coworker had. And it's like this rice and beans, right? Like, he made great rice and beans, but he put, like, this very hot pepper in it. So I tried it, and it was hot, like, really hot. Yeah, they were calling me a wimp.
Well, you can either eat hot food or you can't, but rice and beans is a go-to in my world. Food.
That's not the problem. The pepper was just so hot, I couldn't take the rest. Then there was, what's the stuff that you buy? Oh, Miralax. That's it. The stuff that makes you poop.
What do you say? You had to get Miralax after eating the spicy rice and beans?
No, I had to get that as a kid.
Oh.
Oh, well, that's not a bad thing, man. I mean, I know it doesn't taste very good, but...
But that's very situational.
Yeah, wouldn't it help in your home?
It sure as hell would.
Right?
Right. Situational. It's not part of your meal.
No, that looks good.
It's better than it looks. Better than
it
looks. Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Oh, okay. I love that one. Right. I dated somebody, her family would make it, and I hadn't had any. I was like, this is great. But you're right, like, people think it's kind of trashy or whatever. I think it's delicious.
It might be trashy, but, you know, but here's the thing, right? So people have this idea of what trashy food is, and then if we all determine that we like it, it's no longer trashy, and they can overcharge you for
it. It's expensive.
And I present to you the city of New Orleans. All right? So people go down there, obviously for a lot of reasons, but the cuisine that is not lost in anyone. So just to give people a little quick history lesson there. So most of the food came out of the French Quarter. The reason the French Quarter looks like the French Quarter is that's where they put the broke-ass people, and the broke-ass people got the worst cuts. They got all these garbage spices and all the rest, okay? All the rich people lived out in the Garden District. How many rich people foods do you eat? You don't. So you go to New Orleans, those broke-ass people, same thing with Texas barbecue. You would not eat brisket because rich people would not eat brisket because brisket is garbage unless you cook it right. You think they were eating ribs, rich people? They were not eating ribs, but you cook it right. So New Orleans, the big thing
ham.
About that is people spend a lot of money for this stuff now, but the whole thing came about because everyone in this section was broke, but because there was a lot of slave trade, there's a lot of pirates, there's a lot of broke-ass migrants showing up. Basically, they were forced to live where the French Quarter is now. So you had Irish people, you had Caribbean people, you had Haitian people, you had broke-ass even English people.
Was there any actual French?
Well, French comes from Haiti.
It's Canada. Canadian.
Right. So, but here's
I forget what happens, but they end up down there, too.
Yeah. We cook this way, you cook that way, but now we're neighbors. So they start trading with each other. And basically, what we call Creole food and Cajun food and New Orleans food, it's an amalgamation of a bunch of broke-ass people. That's why it tastes good.
The reason the sandwich is
covered everything with spices, and you slow-cook everything because the meat cuts are garbage. So the irony is, the brokest people in the United States put together the food, and then now people travel the world over to eat because rich people don't make good food.
Sandwich is called a po' boy because it was affordable.
Right.
It's
now,
fried
how
oysters.
Much is it now?
It's fried oysters and fried shrimp.
Like 15
called,
goddamn dollars.
Because that was a poor person's sandwich. A po' boy means this is the cheapest sandwich you can buy.
The cheapest one, right.
And now that's the most expensive sandwich on the menu.
Well, it's like living in the Northwest. I can't say the whole Northwest, at least for Seattle. It's like, I ain't paying $18 for a piece of meatloaf.
No. Right. Well, there's a reason meatloaf exists, man.
Ted, you started talking about it, that everybody was just making fancy tater tots, and then they just drove up the price of tater tots.
They
used to be the cheap cut of a potato to buy.
Yes.
You guys enjoy a good TV dinner every once in a while?
Yeah.
I don't mind a TV dinner.
No, just because I don't have a microwave.
Yeah, I don't have a microwave.
Well, I put them in the oven.
I wouldn't even think about it.
You think they taste better in the oven?
Look, man, I've wasted. Look, I think the antichrist of anything is a microwave hot dog.
And just based on my impatientness and my hunger, it was a microwave exploded hot dog on wheat bread with ketchup and mustard. It's maybe the worst combination ever. It's all crunchy and terrible, and it looks like a party favor blew out on one side of it. What poverty meal will you never eat again, and which one do you still eat? 206-803-ROCK.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.